And getting back into Revelation, and God willing, we'll finish up chapter 5 and maybe dip our toe into 6 a little bit tonight. But in getting back into the 5th chapter, if you recall, Jesus has taken the scroll, taken the book, but it's a scroll, that has the 7 seals. And we're thankful because this is such a precious moment. This is, again, the trump has sounded. Praise God. The bride has been raptured. She's with him. We see that meeting in the air. Praise God. The cloud. The 24 elders. Hallelujah. We see that precious encouragement. The Lord's day has begun. It started. Hallelujah. It's exciting. The wrap up of that age. And praise God. What's to come. The exceeding riches of his grace. Praise the Lord. It's coming forth. So we thank the Lord that the jubilation here is he alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. And he alone that is worthy has his wife. And praise be to God, it has begun. Now we rejoiced last week that these 4 beasts, wanted to go back and just hit this a little bit there in 4:9. The beasts give him glory and honor and thanks. And it's such a precious thing to hear that. Those 4 living ones, the bridal company, gives him glory, honor, and thanks. Gives him thanks because the bride received the grace in its fullest and in its fullness. To give that back to him, that honor and glory. Isn't that wonderful? We have a couple back here. God willing, they'll be married this weekend. And we're thankful. What a representation that is. That sweet Chantel, that will be the glory of Kenneth. The honor, praise God, that he is honored with, that he will have his wife. And it's all because of the grace of God. We know we're nothing. But we know by his grace, hallelujah, and that grace upon grace, and that grace for grace, and the grace of God is that is with us, and even the more grace. My goodness, how could we not then, if we apprehend it, grow from glory to glory into his very image, as the word of God says. See, that's why the 24 elders, they said, worthy is the Lamb to receive glory, honor, and power. Wonderful. But only the bride is the paramount of his glory. As we've jumped ahead there in the 21st chapter. And we've seen the bride, the New Jerusalem, descending from heaven, having the glory of God. This is the thanks. This is the glory and honor that she thanks him for. And gives to him because of the grace of God that she has taken through her lifetime. Hallelujah. And we thank God that this is such a wonderful encouragement to us. The paramount of glory. As the word of God says, the woman is the glory of man. And only she can give him that glory and honor because by grace she took it. Praise be to God. Now, let's go ahead and begin reading from chapter 5 and verse 8, and we'll go ahead and read through the 14th verse. And when he had taken the book, and again, this is Jesus, the Lamb, had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. And to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign, and matter of fact, this should read, over the earth. Not on the earth, but we shall reign over the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. So, what a sweet time here. Now, I know many, they love to just get on into chapter 6 because we really want to talk about and see the events and how they're going to unfold. And yes, oh, that Antichrist, oh, such an excitement and all those things. Well, I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I would hope that actually these first 5 chapters have been really the greatest excitement of our lives. Because this is the ruling and reigning company, praise God. All of that other stuff that follows there after this, that's just directing all of the events. But praise be to God, that's what she is granted and given to rule and to reign jointly with him. Praise the Lord. And it's all exciting, it's all wonderful. But by the grace of God, may we be encouraged not to run through chapter 5 that fast. Let's enjoy our Lord. Let's give him the praise. Because those that give him this praise and praise him for this grace now will be the ones in the midst of the throne that will be praising him at this time and getting ready to pour forth the wrath of the judgment of God. Amen. Amen. So, wonderful stuff here. But this shows us when he takes the scroll, getting back here to verse 8, the four beasts and the 24 elders, they fall down before the Lamb. And then in verse 8, we have such a precious picture because these full overcomers, the full overcomers of the Old Testament and the full overcomers of the New Testament, the 24 elders and the four beasts, or the four living ones, they worship the Lamb together. And it says that they have harps. And the harps speak of praise. It speaks of a heart that is in tune with God. It speaks of a heart that God, hallelujah, has played the heartstrings over again and again. Does he do that to you? Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? How he gives you a song in the night. You think that song is done by you, or do you believe it's the hand of God upon your heart playing that song? I pray you know that, where that comes from. But this is it. And this shows the praise that is so sweet. They come in with that praise, that thanksgiving. I thank the Lord that we praise the Lord in here. I'm grateful to God. It's not a strange fire. It's an encouragement. I'm thankful to the Lord that, you know, we're here at a Bible study, and when we get down to pray, I'll tell you what, things start shaking. It's a good thing. It said, praise him with a loud voice. It's not that, again, we know. It's not trying to build up sound or make noise. It's just, how could you contain something that's so incredible? How could we not, again, praise him for a love so great and immense and the power of his might that he's given to perform the good work which he has begun? Amen? Praise God. I'll tell you what, we have a lot to be thankful for, no matter how tired these bodies are. Amen? All right. Praise God. Let's get to looking up. I think we'll be a little bit better in tune. Now, then we come to the golden vials. Now, these golden vials, it says, they hold the prayer of the saints, and there's a precious odor that comes up from that. And think about then again, God encouraging you. You pray, and you pray always, and you pray in all things, and you pray believing. You pray expecting. Amen? You pray as, hallelujah, Lord, I'm calling these things which be not as though they were. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. And then in all your praying, pray in thankfulness. Amen. Thank him. Praise God. Thank him that you have to have him. Thank you that he's the only one that can meet the need. Thank him, praise God, that he gave you the need. And thank him, praise God, that you hear me. Lord, you hear me. That's a wonderful thing. I was encouraged last night, Brother Dean, again telling us brothers how Jesus prayed there for Lazarus. He was thanking God that he heard him. How intimate, how beautiful, how wonderful. You ever thank God that he hears you? Or do you just get out there and say, well, I'm just going at it. I know you hear me. How about thanking him for hearing you? Amen. Isn't that one of the humility? Yes, I know I'm a son, but I'm so beyond thankful for that mercy and grace. Hallelujah. That now I am a son of God. Hallelujah. So it's a wonderful thing, this humility. And we need to have it. Oftentimes we think a lot more of ourselves than we ought, don't we? And we get puffed up awful fast. I think it's just a sweet thing to let him increase and let's decrease, praise God. It's been a wonderful life of learning that, and I thank the Lord for it. But here we go. We have these prayers of the saints, and this expresses a few different things here. First of all, expresses the hearts that are full of brotherly love. Isn't it wonderful to pray for people? I'm thankful to God. I'm grateful that I know I have my needs, but I'm thankful to pray for you. I am. Grateful to pray for you and throughout the day, and I mean that, but especially in the morning. Lord, I lift up the family of God. I lift up our household of faith. I lift up this little church in Denver. Hallelujah. And Lord, may we run and run well, and may we run to attain and to win you. And may we encourage ourselves the much the more in this, and may we gather, and may there be that encouragement. And Lord, that anointing that you have poured out, help us to enter in. Help us to go into that with full assurance of faith, believing. Let's not be complacent here. Let's not take this for granted. Let's just not say, well, I've checked in on this service. But Lord, to have this thankful heart for your wonderful passion that's given this mercy and grace to me. It's awesome, brothers and sisters. And Lord, help us to have more gratitude. Praise be to God. And then I will mention here, these vials that these guys have, these golden vials that are full of odors, it's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you what, we're going to get to chapter 16 if the Lord tarry. And the bridal company is going to even get to these different vials, and they're going to be vials poured forth with wrath. So don't get them mixed up. These are different ones that are given out here, and this is a sweet thing. But just those that might think about these vials in a little bit, you'll understand. These are the golden vials, and those vials we get to later on, those will be for a different purpose and a very precious purpose. But you'll notice at that time, the ones that have those will be that bridal company. It's exciting to know these little things. Remember I told you as we started out here, he's in the details? Get in the details. It just gets more exciting all the time as we get into the details. And ask him to put it upon your heart to want to know these things. But these are wonderful attributes of the full overcomers. And think about this, because these are the attributes that are in the full overcomer right now. She's full of joy and praise, hallelujah. And she's full of loving prayer. There's compassion, there's passion. Prayer for others and prayer for others in their spiritual well-being. She is a lover of souls. And a lover for souls to win God's best. Have you ever thought about David, why people loved him? Because they knew that David cared for them. David loved his people. David loved the people that God had him to rule over. And they knew that. He was one of them. When they went out to battle, as we were talking about on Sunday, it gives me chills. He was in the front. It wasn't like you guys get out there and go win the battle and I'll just hang around in the back. He went out there and fought with them. They had to almost tie him back and say, hey, man, you're not doing this time. You're kind of old. We got to protect you a little bit. But I love that heart. And that heart, praise God, was the heart that his companions loved. Those were the peers that knew. You ever want to be a leader? Care for people. It's true. You lead by caring. Yes, there's example, there's all these things, but there has to be a compassion by God's grace, and especially as ones, as the Word of God calls them in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the fathers of those mothers of ones that would be so encouraging to saints, that would encourage them on in the Word of God. I want to be that way. By the grace of God. And that's what the Lord does, is he encourages us. But it's the love of God that does it. See, Paul, he always prayed, didn't he, and rejoiced for those. He said, I haven't ceased in making mention of you in my prayers. He said that over and over. And he did. And I thank the Lord. He specially said that. And you know who he was saying that to? The ones that were fighting for the bridal truth. The ones that were fighting to win Christ. Those that had the vision of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He let them know, I love your faith. I love that love that you have. And I never cease in making mention of you in my prayers. What are we praying for? Amen. Lord, get my heart in tune for that. That's why by the grace of God, I pray we are praying for one another and praying for the body of Christ. Amen. But especially, again, for those that have gone without the camp. It's a wonderful thing we just praise God for. But then you think about also they're offering up these prayers of the saints. Now think of the saints that are on the earth at this time that didn't get caught up into that first company. Could you imagine what they're praying for? Could you imagine the groaning? I don't want to imagine that groaning. I don't want to be there. I want to be in the air with him. But I'll tell you what, there's going to be a groaning, isn't there? That innumerable company, it says, will have to have the tear wiped away from their eye. And here we have the opportunity that we can be on the other side of that praying. God help us to wake up. Amen. This is reality. This is truth. And I'm thankful that we can go into Revelation. And I don't have to be tippy-toeing around or wondering about this. We go boldly in because it's the same revelation. It's by his Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? And it is the same simplicity of the gospel of Christ. And I thank God over the last couple of weeks, a couple of different ones that have heard and have been in here, thankful that there is a confidence, not in us, not in man, not in my ability to go study or whatever it is, but to sit still and to sit at that well and listen to what the Spirit says. Praise God, and Lord, help us that, again, every time, Lord, that it would just be a cookie on the shelf. That, man, you know, people call this, oh, this and that. It's like, oh, my goodness. I see in Paul's gospel, this is just like taking a little cookie off a shelf. This is just like a glass of water and a piece of cake. Here we go. You know? Amen? Come on. Lord will do it. Okay, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book. That's a new song, see, because that hadn't happened until this time. That's a wonderful song. Praise God. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. See, you think about even the difference, those that have studied Revelation. The innumerable multitude, they have a song and they sing salvation to our God. And that's a wonderful thing. But we're getting into real detail here. Redeemed. Do you love that word, redeemed? Oh, I love that word, redeemed. And I'll tell you what, notice the blood. The blood. Praise God. Those cherubim, they never have their eyes stray from the mercy seat. It's all about the mercy. It's all about the blood. It's so wonderful that these are so encouraged to be all about that blood. And they say, we are redeemed. Redeemed from death to life. Transformed scarlet to white as snow. Purchased of God. I am redeemed. Brand new, hallelujah, the new man, all things. These are ones that understand the grace of God, the mercy of the Lord, the power of the blood of Jesus, that precious, wonderful transaction that was made. It is finished on the cross. Yes, that's the ones that will grow in grace. You grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are these ones. And redeemed, how wonderful. And every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Isn't that something? And they're redeemed. And yet there be knucklehead Christians that still wonder, what do you think these four beasts are? And what do you think the 24 elders are? Angels or unicorns? Gummy bears? You know, it's just ridiculous. Listen to the word of God. Isn't it sad? But see, when you go into this and you're going to try to get in there with your brain or what somebody else has told you is this, you know, you really even shouldn't study this. So why don't I take that back from you? I mean, it almost gets to that people won't even go into it. Well, in some respects, you probably shouldn't if in a way. But the Bible tells you we need to know this. We need to know this and have the boldness to know this. But even more so and more precious is this is why we have Paul's gospel, because it unlocks all of the mystery of it and makes it plain. Praise God. We get eyes of understanding to see it. But there's another precious encouragement in that kindred tongue and people and nation. It's so wonderful. There's a proof here that there are two separate companies we're speaking of. The Old Testament worthies of faith, the 24 elders, and the New Testament worthies, which are the four living ones. The word kindred, I brought this out before, but it's a very precious word. Kindred insinuates from every generation. Now think about that. The word kindred insinuates every generation. So if we have every generation that's been there, we know that the bridal company could only be from those that live in the church age. It only could be offered to those, brothers and sisters, that had the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that opportunity to grow up and into Him in all things, to have all truth preached to them. Amen. That is a truth. So we see that with all, when it says all kindreds or all generations, we see then that, yes, that would include then the ones that were of the Old Testament. Well, praise God. That's why they would be of that company of the 24 elders. I pray that's really clear. Another encouragement that you have two separate companies here. The 24 elders, which are the worthies of the Old Testament, which are those kindreds or generations that happened before Pentecost. And then you have the ones, the kindreds, those generations, praise God, that are after Pentecost. So it's another encouragement to us and another proof of what the Lord is talking about. And also kindred specifically refers to the tribes of Israel. So we have another proof that we have Old Testament worthies of faith that are mentioned here that would belong, obviously, in the 24 elders. Hope that's real clear. It's just, these are just other beautiful light upon light. I get encouraged in this and in these things that God has encouraged us to go into. Now we know that this is something that's sweet to us. And then it says, and they were made kings and priests. See there in verse 10, it says, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign over the earth. So we know that there is a ruling and a reigning there as well too. And I do love how that is even in order that way. Because kings and priests is in the same way the order is of the four beasts and the 24 elders. And I believe that's in such perfect order as well too. Because the four living ones truly will be the ruling and reigning company. The 24 elders all is that, again, that priestly number that speaks of the Old Testament glory. I'm not saying for certain that there isn't a crossover a little bit in that, but I do believe that there is an encouragement to my heart that everything is in its perfect order. Amen. It's in its perfect order. It's beautiful in how everything is listed and ordered in the Word of God. And I thank the Lord for that. So again, you have the kings, which truly would speak of the ruling and reigning of the four living ones, the four beasts. And then you would have the priests, again, of the 24 elders. Another encouragement to your heart, if you go back, I believe it's 1 Kings 8. It's also mentioned in Chronicles as well, too. When the ark is brought into the temple, it's very precious. When that's brought in there, they praise the Lord and there's an encouragement there. Well, then this cloud starts to come out. And this glory just starts to get so immense in there, okay? So they brought the ark in there. You know it's on top of the ark, amen? They brought it into the Holy of Holies. And we've got the ark, and on the top of that ark is the lid, the mercy seat. And you've got the cherubim in there that represent those four living ones and all of that. So the priests were in there with them, you know, because they brought that ark in there. But then the cloud started coming in there. The glory started getting in there. And those priests, they had to get out of there. They could not, because they were overwhelmed by the glory. And all that remained was that precious ark and the mercy seat with the two cherubim. How many ways do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Amen. Isn't that awesome? I just love, again, the ministering of the Spirit to us over and over and in different ways. Okay, going on to verse 11 and 12. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000 1,000. We got 100 million angels here. We got a lot of them. This is encouraging. This is quite a scene, is it not? Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And isn't it magnificent? All that's magnified is the Lamb. It's always the Lamb. Praise God. And it's always the Lamb slain. It's the blood. It's what He finished. Hallelujah. What He became. What He was made for us. That giving up, praise God, of the ghost. Everything that He has done. And it's all through the Lamb and His love to us. But here they're praising Him together and for Him taking the throne. And again, that Thou was slain. He had to die. And you got the 100 million angels around 24 elders, and then the 24 elders around the throne and the four beasts. And notice, once again, they all say together now, worthy, worthy. See, we're just thankful. This is the cry of John, even at the end of Revelation. Even so, Lord, come quickly. We want to praise You for in the fullness. I want that body like unto Your own glorious body. Not because I want to just go beaming around the universe. No, because I want to praise You in the fullness of how I've always imagined by the Spirit to be able to praise You in the fullness like Him fullness. Incredible. Praise God. And this is the day that, hallelujah, He takes this throne and will rule and reign. And we're just so grateful to God. And it lists these seven perfect attributes of very God, of very God. Think about what He is worthy. He's worthy to receive power. He's worthy to receive riches. Worthy wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. It's just so complete. It's so perfect, the praise. I'm so grateful to God. I tell you, how many times have you been praising the Lord and you just wished you had words to say? How many times have you really been praising the Lord? And I'm talking maybe just a few times in your life you'd say, man, I just wish I didn't get so tired. I wish my voice wouldn't wear out. Huh? Those types of things. And I'm telling you, it just is amazing what it will be to be there face to face with Jesus. All right, 13 and 14. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. See, it's over now, and all know it. Even the devil at this time, as we are encouraged and we will be encouraged, he's going to know that he has but a short time. It's over. He's so stupid right now, he don't think it is, but he'll know it's over. I'll tell you what. The amen of the beasts, absolute agreement with the word. But isn't this something in verse 13? Think about this. This is going to be a time that every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, and such that are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor, glory and power. Brothers and sisters, there's not going to be any denying that He is Lord. Every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow. He is Lord. And we're even going to go into a time in this that we're going to see. Well, if you go on over to chapter 16, let's flip on over there. You'll see what I'm talking about. Even during getting into the midst of the great tribulation, where I'll tell you, there's some horrible things happening. But in the horrible things, it's so absolutely evident and clear that this is God, that this is wrapping up, that these things are going to be taken care of very shortly. But look at what it says in chapter 16 in verse 9 and 11. It says, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. See, they knew that God had power over these plagues. And what did they do? They blasphemed God. And what do? They repented not to give Him glory. Listen to that. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. And what did they do? They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. You wonder why wicked people are so wicked and they don't turn and they know? Because that's the devil. That's the devil. They'll just sit in and they'll get worse. They'll sit in it and they'll have pleasure in doing it. Knowing they're completely wrong, it doesn't matter. And that devil, magnifying himself above God. But brothers and sisters, they know, but that's what evil is. Thank God for your heart. Thank God for the mercy. Thank God that you love him. We're not, in a sense, perfect people. We make great mistakes. We fail. But thank God for your tender heart. Thank the Lord that you cry out to God, Lord, I don't want to go this way. I don't want to do these things. Help me. Because this heart is so cold and dark that all it can do is even have pleasure in more evil. Do you see why the Lord tells us to not yoke ourselves together with unbelievers? It's so important to understand that. You're either of him or you're of the enemy. Bible says you're either for me or you're against me. You're either of Christ or you're of Antichrist. I have some people that I'm familiar with. I could say, in a sense, friendly with, that I've known for years. They would do many things for me, naturally speaking. I think they would be one of the first ones if I needed help in a lot of ways. But I'm telling you, they're not of the Lord. And it's sad. There's something that the Lord has a testimony, a moving in my life sometimes to visit with them about the things of God. But I have some that I know that that's just almost been to the point of, have they even blasphemed the Holy Ghost? It's sad. But that's not one that I would spend my time with. That's how God does. There might be ones that you work with, might have to do some different things with. But by the grace of God, do not entangle yourselves together with unbelievers. No matter how good it appears, no matter how smart, wise, powerful, and all of those things, listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. I counsel young couples with that. You're going to be challenged in these things because you're going to have workplace and you're going to have different dinner engagements and all these things that maybe you think you have to do for work. You don't have to do a lot of things. Don't make an excuse to have to do. Stand, withstand, and having an all to stand. And you'll be so glad you did. Because remember this, God blesses one thing. He blesses his word. That's it. That's all he's going to bless. And oh, he wants to bless it. And that's all that's going to be, is it's going to be that anointing in the word of God. Continue to go after it. So, I don't want you to be sad. So we'll look into verses 1 and 2 here of the 6th chapter. Because we wouldn't want to go home on that note, would we now? All right. But you can see, I'll tell you what, it's here. We're getting signs of it now. We're seeing how dark it is. And it's about over. But let's get a taste of the wonderful and the wonder of this judgment in the beginning of the opening of these seals in chapter 6. Now, as we get into chapter 6, the first four seals are a condensed little version of the entire 7-year tribulation. Those first four seals. The fifth seal goes back and gives you a little bit more insight of detail on the second seal. And then the sixth seal goes back in and gives you a little bit more detail on the fourth seal. But truly, the first four seals go through the entire tribulation. And then, by the grace of God, the seventh seal will go back in and go through and give us that wonderful wrap-up and encouragement of that. And then, but that's exactly what Revelation does. Because you have to remember this. Sometimes people study this and say, oh my goodness, the Lord's here and then he's over here. And then I said, yeah, that's the Lord. because he doesn't see time. He encompasses all of it. He sees it as if it's always now. He's in it. Yes, these things will be. We understand this time, but there's no time to God. And this encouragement to us, and we do need to be encouraged. Think about how the Lord does that all the time. Even in our walk, even thinking about the Song of Solomon. I'm as the tents of Kedar, but yet as the curtains of Solomon. It's always like that. It's always that encouragement. You never just get to this place and that's it. He takes you on, but in taking you on, he brings the word of God back in all of these different ways. It's not like, well, okay, I've graduated from the book of John, and you know now I'm going over to Acts, so John's done. No, he's going to bring that back in. He's going to continue to remind you all of this encouragement. I mean, shoot, we've been speaking of Revelation and talking about the four living ones and the four beasts, and where were we? We were back in the garden with the cherubim, weren't we? Amen? You see how this is. He'll bring it all over the place and bringing his word to us. But this is that what this is. These first four seals are going to be just kind of like a little overview. But again, time is nothing to God, and by his Spirit, I pray we'll see it. All right, so let's go ahead and read the first two verses of chapter 6, and we'll just touch in this tonight, and we'll finish up. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come. The word ansi was added in there. It just says, come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, first note, only the Lamb can open the seals. He's the only one that can do it. Praise the Lord. This is the one that has all power. Now, I don't want you to just think of, again, this power is just for someday. This is power is for you right now. Isn't that wonderful? This is the power he has over you right now. This is that wonderful hand that's before you, behind you, and that hand that's over you. Praise God. This is that God. Thank you, Jesus. Don't just think that, oh my, this is the big thing he's got to deal with, and I know he loves me and everything. No, his passion is for you. His passion is for you. This stuff is going to be. You're in the work. You're his workmanship. Isn't that awesome? That's what's so incredible about this. This is the beauty of the life that we now live by the faith of the Son of God. But see, only the Lamb can open these seals. But look, who's there with the Lamb? Who's the one that's announcing? Who's the one that has the voice of thunder? Lightning? It's the bride. It's the four beasts. See, this is where the departure happens. This is where you're now going to see. The 24 elders will be mentioned once in a while from here on out. But the four beasts, they'll also be seen as the seven angels. They'll also be seen as the messengers. All of those things that'll come forth, you'll begin to see now. It's all about the Lamb and his wife. It's all about those that will rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. It's so wonderful. It's exciting. This is, by the grace of God, the place he wants us to take. Right in complete harmony and agreement with him. All the way along and the rest of the way through all of Revelation, all of that judgment is going to be done with the four beasts. Those four living ones. The bridal company. That's what Romans 8:17 brought to us. You're heirs of God and joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer together with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. I pray that, again, in Jesus' name, the Lord quicken your heart to believe this tonight. That, again, this just isn't something you hear or you know. This is yours. This is something that will be for those that believe. Do you know that? Those that believe will be in this company. Those that believe by the grace of God, by faith, they will have this place with him. Amen. It has always been that way in the Word of God. Those that have believed the Word of God and moved by faith have entered into all of those promises of God. Amen. Just like those that were in the wilderness. They walked around that promise for 40 years. But they walked in unbelief. They walked in murmuring. They walked in complaining. They saw all the miracles. They heard the word of the Lord. They had that prophet, praise God, that wonderful Moses, representing the word of God. We're out here not to walk around. We're out here to go in. But the Lord said, because of your unbelief, because of your murmuring, you ain't going in. You've walked around it. Your bones are going to wax old. But there's two. There's a Caleb and a Joshua. Two. It sounds like a cherubim company to me. How about you? Huh? You get it? And those are the ones that got to go in. Amen. As well as all those that were under 18 and thankful to God, and those young ones that didn't get to that age. But brothers and sisters, that's exactly what this is. Believe the Lord. Amen. Believe the Lord. You're here. Believe the Lord. Amen. But see, right in harmony with him, that's why they rule and reign with him. The four beasts, the wife, they're directing all of the judgment. She literally rules and reigns together with Jesus Christ. And here we go. The first vision here, a white horse. So obviously coming out of whatever has just been, coming into this first trump, it had to be a pretty rotten, awful time. There had to be a lot of chaos. Sound familiar? Think it's like right now? You think people are crying out, we need a leader? And every time we get one, oh, that's the one. But then, now we need the next one. Then we need the next one. But then, there's going to be this one. The one that comes in on a white horse. White horse, isn't that something? One that has a crown, a conqueror. One that has a bow, strength. But you'll notice, no arrows. And I love how this one is introduced back in Daniel. And we'll go back into Daniel quite a bit, God willing, next week. The Lord's encouraged my heart in a few things I'll mention here in a minute. But Daniel, verses chapter 8, 24 and 25, this is speaking of the Antichrist. And his power shall be mighty, but not only by his power, and he shall destroy wonderfully. And shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. And listen to this. And by peace shall destroy many. Did you hear that? By peace. He shall destroy many. He shall also stand against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. All right. But notice that. Peace and by peace shall destroy many. They're starting to cry peace. They've been crying this a long time. But someday that's going to be so abundant because they're going to have this one. And they're going to cry peace and plenty. And through that peace, they're going to be destroyed. Think about the types and examples we've had throughout our history where people have said, okay, we have peace now. And then God has shown us a little mini sudden destruction. Amen? Oh, yeah, we've got peace. Oh, wow, what happened to that? Well, just this last week, we had peace accord in Syria. Everybody was stop bombing. I think that lasted about 43 seconds. And man, they're not playing fair. We just had we're getting out of here. There's no peace but of him and from him. And it is him. That's the peace. But they reject him. So here is this false peace. This is what it is. And it's going to come in such an abundant package because the Lord is going to allow this. He's going to enable this. He's going to allow this power to be given from Satan himself. Amen. To give to this one that will have this kind of power and sway. And it says that the world wonders after him. They wonder after him. There's a wonder about this one. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, this is exciting because we are at the verge of this moment right now. We are at the moment of the Antichrist right now and the power that's going to be given to him to deceive this world. And I believe it because this world is plunged into more chaos than ever before. The world right now is looking feverishly to a leader, looking feverishly to a man that will rule over them. And if you'll notice, even, and again, I'm not being political. I'm just saying, what is the cry today, even in this nation? We want a peaceful deal. We got to be peaceful. I think that's another kind of a code for politically correct. Can't say this, do that, anything of these things. It's this peace. And what have we gotten? Because it's of man. Man can't bring peace. Only Christ can. Only Jesus can bring this. And brothers and sisters, don't get into thinking, oh, it's because of this evil man and this evil man or this evil this. And no, it's spiritual wickedness. It's the spiritual wickedness. It's the devil in high places. Amen. It's those rulers of the darkness. This is what this is. We do not fight against flesh and blood. We need to understand this. And here he is, this Antichrist, their victor on a white horse, appearing to bring forth peace and plenty, a valiant, peaceful one, so strong with a bow. But he presents himself their friend, their hero, their leader, and through the subtlety of his lying tongue. Just think of this. God showed us this right from the beginning about Satan. Do you remember the garden? That serpent and that little tongue. Oh, it's okay. Oh, you'll be like God. It's never changed. And that same evil, wicked one will empower this one, going forth to conquer. And the world's ripe, brothers and sisters, because the one and the only one that is full of grace and truth, the one who is love and peace, they have fully rejected. Amen. And I want to read, as we close tonight, from Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32. Now, I pray this doesn't make you sad. This should make you excited, because here we are. Listen to these words in Romans 1. We'll begin reading from the 21st verse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creation, or man, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That means an unfit, an unable mind, a mind that can't even discern right from wrong, and to do those things which are not convenient, to do those things that are not fit, to do those things that are unsound, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We're here. We're here. He's coming. He's coming soon. I thank the Lord. Get into the scriptures. Avail yourself to continue to hear the word of God. That doesn't mean give up on what God has caused you to do in this life. Young people that are in school, ones that have new jobs, one that are getting married, and all of those wonderful things. God's able, and enjoy those things as unto the Lord. And go after those things. And all you do it heartily unto God. This doesn't mean, well, I just go now half because, you know, Jesus is coming, so I really shouldn't invest. No, you go wholehearted. Young people, you go at it fully. Don't let people say, well, you know, things have changed and the opportunities aren't the same. Yeah, for man, but you're of God. And are you going to live man's reality, or do you want to live God's possibility? Amen? These are the best of times to those that walk by faith. That does not mean to entangle myself into the affairs and invest my life into this life. But it does mean whatever that the Lord has handed me, whatever He's provided for me that day, go into it. Go into it with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Soar. See, this isn't, again, that we're all going to just sell all we got and I've got a little mountaintop up here and let's go all live in a tent. It's ridiculous. You occupy. There's a testimony in your life. If it's just one that by the grace of God would take notice about an abounding hope in you that would come and ask. And it happens over and over. What is that hope? What's different about you? We're all working here together. You seem to have a joy. You don't care about what the other guy makes. You don't care that the other guy got promoted. You're not worried about what somebody else has. Those are the guys that I just read about right here. And that's all that's being spoken. And that's their ministering now, is all of this covetousness and the backbiting and the jealousy and the envy and all of these different things. We're not from here. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're of and from, hallelujah, the Lord, of God, born of God. Oh, I thank Him for this. And next week, you know, the Bible spends quite a bit of time. It really does. Quite a few verses. Speaking of the Antichrist, his characteristics, where he comes from. Yep. What he does. His rise to power. And his demise. And no, I'm not going to tell you anything I think because I don't think. But I will tell you about him, what the Bible says. And it's amazing how much scripture is about him. But you know what? We're not going to be focused on the Antichrist. But the Bible wants us to know about the characteristics of Antichrist. The Bible wants us to not be ignorant of the devil's devices. The Bible, by the grace of God, wants us to flee the very appearance of evil. Amen? Amen. All right. Praise God. It's getting exciting because we're almost there. But thanks be to God what we have till He come. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.